Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
We're going to break away from our study in John's Gospel, and I want to kind of capsulize a bit of a message under the title of Songs of the Season. And what we're going to do is take a couple of the neat Christmas songs and pull the word out of them. So I enjoy the Christmas songs. I can't get enough of them. Now, usually by December 31st, I'm kind of ready to turn them off. But at this point in time, I look for them on the radio because I enjoy listening to them. Anybody else feel that way? I don't know. There's just something about them kind of draw me in. Sung most of them all of my life. This morning, I want you to watch the screens here, and we have a group that's going to sing the first hymn that we're going to take a look at. So turn your attention to the screens.
Adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him.
Isn't that a good one? There wasn't any question in my heart as the Lord laid this on my heart to do this month of which one would be first, because this is a call to worship and very valuable for us as we begin this Christmas season, this Christmas holiday time. Robert Martin wrote a book called Then Sings My Soul, which tells hymn stories. And in that, he records this, that John Francis Wade is the author of this hymn. He wrote it in 1743 as persecution of Catholics was beginning to increase in England because of the Jacobite Rebellion. They were being pushed out, and he within 2 years left England and went to, as a refugee, to France. Unable to work at his previous profession, he turned to copying. They didn't have printing presses at that point in time to print music, and so they had individuals that hand wrote each note. And he was extremely gifted in this. And so his copying as a copyist became quite famous. In the midst of this, he wrote this hymn and put it into the mix with all the other songs that he had copied. So many thought that he actually had, that someone else had written the song and he had simply copied it. But then as time went on, they realized that no, he had written the hymn. When he wrote it, it was written in Latin, and I'll not try to kill the Latin phrase, but it was translated originally, "Ye faithful, approach ye." Well, if you can imagine, that was kind of hard to sing. So it was shelved, you know, set aside, until another man by the name of Frederick Oakley, the preacher at Margaret Street Chapel in London, an Anglican pastor, sat down with the original Latin phrase and realized that there was great value there to this hymn, but it was unsingable as "Ye faithful, approach ye." Imagine singing that. So translating, giving a more literal translation of the Latin into English, he came with, "O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant." I'm glad he found the way. We wouldn't be singing it this morning if he hadn't. "O come, all ye faithful" is an incredible call to worship that I believe is inspired of the Lord to draw us in to this Christmas season. Robert Kennedy made a tour of the Amazon when he was in office as Secretary of State. And he conversed with a Brazilian Indian who had recently come to Christ. This wasn't known to Kennedy. When he asked through a translator, he said, "What do you most like to do? What do you most like to do?" And he had in his mind that this native Indian would say to him, "Well, I like to hunt, I like to fish, I like to go canoeing," because they've lived a very simple life. But instead, the Indian answered, "Being occupied by God." Kennedy, thinking that he had misunderstood the translator, asked him again, to which the man gave the exact same response. The most favorite thing that he loved to do was to be occupied by God. I like that as a definition of worship. To be occupied by God. Church, I think we give the Lord so little time. And I know, you know, we all have the "I'm so busy." Come on. "I'm so busy." But you know, the fact is, we all have the same amount of time, 168 hours a week. He's worthy of our time. I have found this over my lifetime, that to connect with God, I need to let go of time. Time is an entity that exists only in the framework of humanity, only in the framework of this earth. Our God is not on the same clock that we are on. And to come into His presence, to really come before Him, we've got to let go and let God. We have to be being occupied with God. So I say that this morning because there may come a day, maybe not today, but there may come a day when you are wanting His presence and His help and His designs upon your life. I don't say that in a critical way, that today might not be that day. You may have everything figured out today. You may have a plan. You're going to work your plan and move through this day, and you're pretty content with what that will look like. But I can pretty much guarantee that every single one of us in this room are going to come up against some days that we don't know what to do next. And you're going to want God to be involved with your life. You're going to want Him to work out the situations that you're going through. And can I tell you, the way in is to become occupied with God. Now, the immediate response may be, well, how long? How long do I need to wait? Because we would love to put a formula on this and say, well, you know, need plus this amount of time equals God's presence. Won't work. He will not come in our timetable. He'll stay on His timetable. So, once again, if you're looking for God, be prepared to be occupied with God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's being occupied with God. Amen. William Temple, the Archbishop of Canterbury from 1942 to 1944, wrote, "To worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, and to devote the will to the purpose of God." I like that. It's about being occupied by God. All right, my text this morning is a familiar one. Probably most of you can tell the story without ever turning there, but if you would like, in Matthew's Gospel, the second chapter, we will look once again at some worshipers. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. Read along with me if you would. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures of gold and incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Amen. Lord, bless your word to our hearts. This, as I said, this hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful, is a call to worship. And I would like this morning to kind of pull out of this scripture some of the truth about a call to worship. The ultimate call to worship comes from God. You say, well, that seems strange because we're worshiping God. There is no one worthy but God. The very universe, we learn from this scripture, calls us to worship. The wise men in the East, it doesn't tell us where in the East that they were from, what country, what nationality. There's all kinds of speculation. It's not relevant to the story. What is relevant is that the universe proclaimed Christ's coming. The universe. God, help us to be small. God, help us to realize the infinity of your power, of your glory, of your awesomeness that covers the universe. When the Son of God was born of a woman on this earth, the stars had to come into alignment. Can you imagine? Now, scientists tell us that the light that we see from stars is many times hundreds of years past when it actually shined. So just taking what limited knowledge that they have of the understanding of light passing through the universe and attaching that to this principle that God moved the star to the exact place that it needed to be to proclaim to these wise men that a king had been born in Bethlehem. Hundreds of years, perhaps thousands of years before Jesus ever came. Perhaps even before the fall of man. God ordered a star to shine in the exact way that was necessary for some seekers to find that a babe was born in Bethlehem. See, this is the ultimate call to worship. That God the Father would know thousands of years before He sent the Son, before this Bible was ever penned, even the first letter, He ordered that a star should be brought into arrangement and should begin to shine so that some wise men off in the east could report that a child had been born in Bethlehem. You say, what does that mean? That means that worship of God is important. It is ultimate. Come into His presence with singing. He inhabits the praises of His people. Church, this morning, we could not find God if God was not drawing us. If His sunlight, if His starlight, if you will, was not shining out
so that we could find Him. Where were you when you first heard about God? Oh, I don't mean about that you heard that He exists, but that your spirit and your mind and your heart came into unison and you heard God. You realized that God was real and true. Where were you? If we were to take a poll and go across this room, we would find church pews. We would find deep forests. We would find driving down the road in a car, listening to a song, seeing the beauty of the creation of God. You see, because God works exactly the way we need Him to work. These wise men were watchers of the stars. So God ordered a star to shine. It doesn't say that everybody followed the star. It says that there were wise men from the east who followed the star to come and worship King who had been born in Bethlehem. That says to me that you and I have a personal God who is drawing us to worship Him. Now, whether we answer that call, you see, those wise men could have said, now that looks like it's too far away. We would be greatly inconvenienced to go all the way to that land of Judea. It would be a great inconvenience for us to make that kind of journey. And it's dangerous and all, oh my goodness, they could have had a multitude of excuses. But they were wooed. They were drawn. And they answered that. Oh, I don't know, folks. My spirit, man. I really can't take any credit for this because it's happening inside of a jar of clay that disappoints me continually. But there's something down inside my spirit that is seeing the star and is being drawn. And inconveniences don't matter. Now some of you can associate with this, and in your heart and minds right now you're saying the amen. Others, you may not be there, you may not follow what I'm saying. But see, there's something down inside of me that is longing to follow that star. Just in the expectation and the anticipation that arriving there, that I'm going to meet the King. You see, that star proclaims His rule. They weren't going there to just see anybody. They were going there to see a King. They were going there to see one who would rule over a people. And you see, when the Father draws us into worship, when the Father draws us in to see and to know the Son, we don't just go there to acknowledge that the Son of God came, but we go there to come and bow down in His presence, reckoning Him as a King. See, too many today are giving mental assent to God. That is, they're acknowledging that He exists. They're acknowledging that Jesus exists. But that second part of Hebrews 11:6, they haven't come to yet. And that is the reckoning that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Those who are occupied with Him. I can tell you something this morning. To come into the presence of God, to be occupied by God, to come in and worship Him as God is calling us to do, it's going to cost you. There will be a journey involved. I said there will be a journey involved. And sometimes it's a long and dusty journey. Sometimes it's an arduous journey. Sometimes it's full of tests and trials. Sometimes there are struggles along the way. To see how committed we are to come in and be occupied by God. You say, well, why does God make it so difficult? Because what He has for us is so great. It is so powerful. It demands a commitment to the one who is worthy. He said, you mean I'm going to work my way in? No. There's no working. There is simply occupying. And that occupation means sacrifice and struggle and difficulty sometimes. But oh, the reward. I pray this all the time. I pray this all the time. Here at these altars, I pray it in my home, in my study. I pray it. I pray it. I pray it. God, just one moment in your presence is worth more than a lifetime of living in the flesh. You know how I know that? Because I've tasted it. I've had those moments in His presence where His power just settled down upon my mind and upon my heart, and nothing else mattered. My flesh did not matter. What was going on in my life did not matter. I ascended into His presence. And let me tell you something, there's no comparison with anything in this life with being called into the sanctuary. See, that's David had experienced that. That's why he said, oh, just let me be a doorman on the house of the Lord. Just let me stand where the wind of His presence is coming past me. Just let me be there close to where He is. That's all that I need. You know, we sing these songs, He's all I need, He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. It's not just a song. It becomes a way of life that those that are hearing that whisper of God's call, those that are seeing the star, maybe it's far off, but you're chasing the star of His presence. You know what I'm talking about. Come on, how many? You can help me with this morning. How many know what I'm talking about? It becomes an uneasiness with the things of this world. We start getting our minds and our eyes fashioned toward the stuff of this world, and you shudder. You think, oh my, what's going on here? And then you take your eyes off of that and turn it toward the star. You say, oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking for the day that I'm going to be constantly, continuously in His presence. Because a moment in His presence is worth a lifetime in the flesh. You see, as we look at this call to worship from God, I have to tell you that God is worthy. He is worthy of worship. Listen to Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making the wise simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. And by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Hallelujah. I tell you, I long for somebody. You see things when you're standing up here, and as the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes to push the word forward, you see things. You see young people with empty eyes. You see grown-ups with distracted faces. You see impatience. When's this going to be over? I don't challenge that. This is human speaking to human. But hear me this morning. God's calling. God's calling us to worship. Find your place. Find your place. I've always loved the altar. I found it when I was a child. And I've always loved and longed for the altar. I love the stillness of being completely alone in silence with His presence. Others, they like group worship. That's fine. But find His presence. Hear His call. Follow the star and find His presence. Oh, come, all ye faithful. Come joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come on. Now this morning, I have to, from our text and from the reality of life, I have to tell you there is a call to worship from selfishness. Herod, he played the part. The wise men came in, told them the story that God had been drawing them, the star they saw in the east. Where is this king who was born? They didn't need direction. They were following the star. But Herod was not listening to the same voice, was not following the same stars, but had curiosity. Where is this one? Where is this child supposed to be born? And the amazing part, the scribes and the Pharisees collectively came to him and said, Bethlehem. They knew right where it was supposed to happen. And yet they, along with Herod, missed it because they were steeped in selfishness, self-gratification. There's always been a group of worshipers who were there for their own interests. I rewrote the song just a little bit for them, if you'll allow me to share it with you. Their song goes like this. O come, all ye faithful, faithless, surly, and defeated. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold me, born the King of everything. O come, let us adore me. O come, let us adore me. O come, let us adore me. My will be thine. Eh? King Herod was such a worshiper. It says when he heard that a king had been born in Judea, he was disturbed. And the people were disturbed with him. Who's this that's come to rock the boat? Who's this that's come to compete with me for rule, for honor, for glory? Who's this that has come to compete with me for greatness? Some may not realize it, but they're in competition with God for greatness. They are actually worshiping from selfishness. What can he, what will he do for me? It's very hard. The word worship in Scripture means to ascribe worth. It is very hard to ascribe worth to God when you're more worried about your own worth than His. Many folks, not nobody in this room, of course, but many folks come to church just for their own blessing. They want the song, they want the prayers, they want the sermon, all to be there for their blessing. But you see, I've had a horrible week. I need blessing. I need fixed. I need help. One of the reasons why the prosperity doctrine was so strong and is so strong in parts of the world and continues to be is that there are false worshipers, just like Herod. Herod said to the Magi, go and find him and Tell me where he's at so that I can go and worship. How many in here realize that he really wasn't interested in worshiping the king? Oh, we can see through it, can't we? Can I tell you that God can see through our worship? Jesus said those who worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. That is, there cannot be false motivations. You will not come into his presence with a seeking of your own desires. I'm going to seek God so I can be lifted up. To be occupied with God, we need to be occupied with God, not occupied with ourselves, as Herod was. He was an extremely egotistical man, according to history. Thought very highly of himself. Ultimately, it was his ruin. He was eaten by worms as he proclaimed how grand and glorious he was. Those who would worship must worship in spirit and truth. They cannot be false in motive. That is to say, I bless you so that you will bless me. I give to you so you will give to me. I exalt you so I can be exalted. There is only one spirit that is acceptable in worship. That is God's spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, according to Romans 8. The Holy Spirit enables us. The Holy Spirit gives us the words to speak. So in other words, we come empty, we come needy, we come wanting, we come longing. And He, our mighty God, gives to us the very Spirit that is needed to worship Him. We don't bring a bunch of stuff in our hands when we come to the Lord. We come empty. Those of you that are new to spiritual things, you may think, well, I don't have the right words. I can't say it the way this person can or that person can. It's not about that. Come with empty hands. Come with a longing heart. Come with a heart that is saying, to you, O God, to you, whatever you desire, whatever you need. You say, well, oh, I'm so busy. You're too busy. If you're too busy to worship God. I have found over the course of my life in ministry that many times people, God gives them some time. We put all of our confidence in the flesh, in all of our ability. Many times His longing over us will allow us to have some time to set, to be occupied with Him. Well, I want to be done. But can I tell you one more thing? And that is, there is a call to worship in His presence. There's a call to worship in His presence. In verse number 9, it says, after they had heard, these are the wise men, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed, because the star was leading them to their destination. And when they came into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. The star is the Spirit's leading. We can identify with that. But His leading is not aimless. It is always bringing us to Jesus. Come to Jesus and believe. Come to Jesus and receive. Ephesians 1:17, Paul says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Oh, I pray that. I pray that over you, church. That God would send His Holy Spirit to draw you, that you would know Him better. I am not a judge of men or women. He has not called me to be a judge. I am simply a sower of seed. But in doing that, I have a longing, a deep longing that you would know Him better. There are many different ways of preaching. I've heard most of them throughout my lifetime. But I want to settle in. I want to give you something. I want you to leave with something. If it is your desire to grasp truth, I want you to leave with some truth. Why? Because I want you to know Jesus. As I prayed the last 2 weeks over these messages, I prayed, Lord Jesus, draw. Send a star. Send something. But draw some people into your presence who don't know you. Some who have been reckless and selfish and trying to worship you out of their own designs and their own desires. Oh God, break through all of that. And may they come to serve at your feet. May they come to know you, Lord Jesus. Listen to me. The only thing that's going to save you is Jesus. The only one who is going to change you is Jesus. The only one who's going to allow you to see heaven is Jesus. Oh come, let us adore Him. Oh come, let us adore Him. Christ, the absolute ruler. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped Him. I'm not going to try and preach it right now, but listen to me. You would do well to learn and study from the Word of God the various postures that are appropriate when you come into the presence of the Lord. You will soon find, if you would study just a little, you would soon find that those who have come into His presence fall down, bow down, many on their faces before God. Even when the angel of the Lord comes at the dispatch of the Father to come and give a message to men like Daniel and Ezekiel, when that angel of the Lord came in dispatch from the Father, the presence of the Father all over that angel caused that man to fall on his face. You understand this? I'm saying, you know what? We are too arrogant today. We're too self-designed. We love the familiarities that we assume from Scripture that allow us to stand face to face with the Almighty God. But I'll tell you something. If you really, truly come into His presence, you'll be on your face. And maybe I should ask, when's the last time that you so sought and realized His presence that you were on your face? I believe that's our challenge this morning. Oh, come, all you faithful, joyful and triumphant. Come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. You see, I think too many times we're standing way far off. We're over in the shadows. We're over. I'm a worshiper. But He's called us out. He said, come. Come unto Me. Sound familiar? All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you. Learn of Me. For I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Come, be occupied by Me. Come, let us adore Him. Christ our Lord. What is my hope this morning? My hope is that you would realize there's a difference between coming to church and worshiping the Lord. There's a difference between having a devotional life and coming in and being occupied by God. There is a difference in worshiping Him selfish, as Herod did, and selfless, as the Magi did. I like what someone said. Wise men still seek Him. I don't know how else to say it. One moment in His presence. One moment when you are occupied with Him will be more than a whole lifetime in your flesh. You taste it. And doesn't know what He says? Taste and see that the Lord is good. You taste that. You come and worship Him. Get down before Him and worship Him. And I guarantee you're going to want more. You may not be willing to pay the price, but you're going to want more.